W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Ukraine's president wants Congress to send another $24 billion in aid for its war with Russia. CBS's Linda Kenyon is in Washington.
His closed-door meetings were described as positive from members of both sides of the aisle. White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan says President Biden, who is very supportive of Ukraine, is quite optimistic the additional aid will come.
We believe that that will continue because we believe that there is strong majorities on a bipartisan basis in both the House and Senate to provide this aid.
The aid would cover a period from the end of September through the end of the year.
On this vote, the yeas are 212, the nays are 216.
House Republicans just shut down an $826 billion defense spending bill for the third time in 2 weeks. They're still butting heads with Democrats over the federal budget, which could shut down the government at the end of the month. Venezuelan migrants just got cleared to find work in sanctuary cities. Here's CBS's Manuel Bajorquez.
The Biden administration is granting temporary legal status to more than 470,000 Venezuelan migrants already in the U.S. The move promises to speed up their approvals for work permits. That could potentially ease the pressure on states to provide services such as housing to tens of thousands of migrants.
Detroit's automakers are struggling right now without workers who've been striking for a week now. WWJ's Jeff Gilbert has the latest.
GM's plant in Kansas City is now down because it can't get parts from a strike-bound plant near St. Louis. There are also layoffs at the two other domestic car companies. Suppliers are feeling the heat, too. A company that normally makes seats for the Ford Bronco is laying off workers because Ford isn't making any Broncos.
Fox is getting new leadership as founder and chairman Rupert Murdoch steps down. Media expert Robert Thompson.
Fox Broadcasting Network cut its way into an already crowded broadcasting environment, and it did it by appealing to a younger audience, a hipper audience, with shows like The Simpsons and Married with Children.
The 92-year-old son Lachlan will take over. Ultra-processed foods could affect your mental health. CBS's Wendy Gillette.
The foods include artificially sweetened prepackaged soups, frozen pizza, hot dogs, sweets like store-bought cookies and cakes, and drinks such as diet soda. The study shows consuming 9 portions or more a day was associated with a higher risk of depression compared to those consuming 4 portions or less.
They can also make chronic depression worse. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
I have diabetes. I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
I have asthma. I'm at risk, too.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine, a vaccine that can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. Wausau police are investigating an early morning shooting at a bar. Here's Brittany Merlot.
Wednesday around 1:40 a.m. on Wausau's west side, officers responded to a fight in the parking lot of M&R Station on the 800 block of South 3rd Avenue. When officers arrived, they saw a group of males on the west side of the parking lot, and one had a handgun. After police ordered him to drop the gun, the male fled north on foot and a single gunshot rang out. Officers were unable to locate the suspect, but the gun was found on the scene. No one was injured and no arrests have been made yet. If you have any information, call the police.
Don't miss the Brat Fry happening at the Crossview Church parking lot on Saturday. The Wisconsin Rapids Auxiliary Police will be there cooking brats from 11 to 3. You can stop down to support this community nonprofit volunteer organization. I'm Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Slight chance for scattered showers tonight, otherwise mainly clear. Lows level off around 56. Winds out of the southeast, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow, high of 78, partly cloudy. Mainly cloudy skies expected tomorrow night. Chance for scattered storms, lows dip down to about 58. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 83.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this September 21st, 2023. Have your host, James J. Maylov, here. At 3:30, we are going to welcome in Anna James, Regional Natural Resource Educator with UW-Madison. Looking forward to talking with her, as we always look forward to talking to our good friend, Jillian. Jillian, thank you for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Jillian joining us, Marketing Events Coordinator with, of course, the Visit Rome, our good friends over there. We say a big thank you to Nakusa Port Edward State Bank, sponsoring the segment. Big shout out to them. Visit them when they get a chance, and visit the Visit Rome website, everybody. RomeWI.com, RomeWI.com. You throw that in your search engine right now. You bookmark that page. You guys have done. I've always enjoyed your page. It looks so good, Jillian.
Oh, well, thank you.
You know, it's really, really good. It's a really nice job. Yeah. This is one of the better websites I come across. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of this, and it looks really good. Just want to encourage people to check that out. We will mention that again before we wrap up, and we will mention a lot of events. We've got a lot to cover today.
Yeah,
And how good does that feel?
You know, it is nice. Yeah. I mean, I was talking to Pam earlier, and she asked, do you guys ever get a break or any time to breathe? And sometimes it feels like we don't, but part of that is fun because you can never say, oh, there's nothing to do in Rome, because there's always something going on.
And I'll say, as a kid, when I lived out there, it was an issue. It was something that, you know, they worried about. Is there enough for young people to do around here and that? And there is now. They've done a very, very good job of making sure that there's literally something for everybody. I think a great example is the Rome Farmers Market.
Yeah, so we're kind of winding down in our summer farmers market series, running from 9 to 1 tomorrow, and our last one will be Friday, September 29th. Mm. Live music, food vendors, crafts, produce, and just a lot of great local goodies that you can check out.
And we've got the final date coming up. So we have September 29th, next Friday, I believe, is our last one.
Yes. Hmm. And then we get a little break, and then it'll switch over to our monthly winter market starting in December.
You know, we like a lot of things we talk about, Jillian, this is a fun event. People get some great food at this event. But the other side of this is that it supports our ag industry, supports our local farmers, our local vendors, and any chance we can to support local while also getting some great produce is never a bad thing.
Yeah.
I love winter farmers markets. I love that we have this in our area. It's so cool. Got another event coming up tomorrow as well.
Yeah, so at Hoozle's at the Lakes, they have DJ Bingo this Friday and every other Friday from 8:30 to 10:30 p.m. Just come on out, enjoy bingo. Yeah. I think everyone loves or at least likes bingo.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
It should be a fun time. The gang at Hoozle's is always fun to be with.
Yeah. You know, these establishments we talk about, you can't have a bad time at. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's almost impossible. And Lucas does such a great job with this. He's very, has a lot of fun with it.
Yeah.
A big shout out to him and the good work he does with a lot of these events that we talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Bingo is one of those things, too. Here in Rapids, we have every Wednesday we have bingo.
Oh, and, yeah.
I go past the Elks Lodge every Wednesday usually, and it is packed. It's packed. People love bingo. You're such a good point by you. Go ahead and get some more bingo in your life from 8:30 to 10:30. It's free to play, and it goes on every other Friday over at Hoozles at the Lakes. And a good morning, a good afternoon to our friends at Hoozles at the Lakes. This Saturday, great music coming up.
Yeah, so live music at Pineland Grill, which is a little south of Rome, but we're adopting
close
them as
enough.
Ours.
Yeah,
close enough.
Yeah.
7 to 10 p.m., they will be having live music featuring the Cheese Doodlers.
The Cheese Doodlers. That has got to be one of the better names I've ever heard, especially for a Wisconsin band.
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
That's such a good name. That's such a good – and great artists, great band, really good band. You guys are going to enjoy them. Again, Pineland Grill, we don't get to talk about very often, but a great place. I've been there before. It's a nice place. Check that out, everybody. Got some good stuff coming up on Mondays as well.
Yeah, so Monday, September 25th, and actually every Monday, Thursday, there will be live music at Greenfire Barbecue at Sand Valley. And that runs 6 to 9 p.m. Just a lot of great local artists, a lot of the same people you'd see at Hoozles, at Pineland Grill, also kind of make their circulation or make their rounds here as well.
Great time. Be sure to check that out every other Monday, Thursday. Great music over there. And on Wednesdays, good stuff going on over at our local library in Rome.
Yeah, it's a children's story time hour at the Lester Public Library of Rome. That's 10:30 to, it should be 11:30 a.m. I wrote that wrong. Oops. Join us for weekly story time, open to kids of all ages. Each interactive story time will feature a different set of books, and they'll be read by the library staff and community members.
It's such a important, it's one of the most important things we can do as adults is reading to kids and having them hear this, our reading skills.
Yeah.
That's how they learn. It's how they pick up, and it's how they get better at reading themselves and hopefully gain a love for reading at an early age. That's all well and important. This is also a really fun event. I've done events like this before, reading for kids, and there are few things in this world that are more fun than that. It's, I really loved reading to my kids when they were growing up, and we didn't always have a lot of books, so they get tired of these books, and I'd end up just telling them stories, just making things up, and just it's just some of my favorite moments with my kids. It's such a great feeling. Be a part of this, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about, and you'll be putting back into your community. Lots of people want to be able to do some good and want to be able to add to their community, but not everybody has dollars and cents to donate to things or that. But most of us have an hour or so of time.
Yeah.
And for an hour, all you do is you go to the library, you read to the kids. You're gonna come out of that feeling good for weeks, days, maybe the rest of your life. it's one of those kind of things. It really does have that kind of hit on you and hits you to the heart that deep. Such a good event. Wednesday, September 27th, and every Wednesday.
Yeah, so we're back at Hoozles at the Lakes.
Yeah.
7 to 8:30 p.m. They have DJ Trivia. Feel like every time we bring this up, I say the same thing, and I'm going to say it again. Even if you don't think you're good at trivia, just come on out and try it. You're going to be better than you think, or...
Yes.
Sometimes worse than you think, and that's okay.
That's a possibility.
Yeah.
But you're going to have fun either way.
Yes, fun either way.
You also have the gift card thing. We love winning things, and so there are gift cards for first or third place.
Yes.
That's a very cool added bonus of this, and it's such a good point about the trivia thing.
Yeah.
We're not talking Jeopardy here. We're not.
Yeah.
Lucas is having a good time with you. DJ Trivia is having a good time with you. He wants to enjoy, you have fun, challenge you a little bit, but you form a team. And what you don't know, maybe your teammate might know or something. You know, either way, it's a fun time.
Yes, definitely.
Got a really cool one going on over at Point Boss. And anytime we can talk about our good friends at the historic Point Boss or anywhere near that area, we love covering these kind of things.
Yeah, so Saturday, September 30th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., Point Boss will be having their historical encampment. And it's almost kind of like a travel back in time, experiencing the sights, sounds, and smells of 18th century life at a French outpost during the fur trade era. You can be... Let me try that again. Okay. It really is kind of traveling back in time. You get to see authentic reproductions of clothing worn during that time, military drills of French soldiers, mm-hmm. Taking the sense of 18th century from like kettle simmering over open fires, wood smoke. You get to even taste test some food. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of a nice throwback to, I guess, 1823.
yeah. Nicely done. This is our great friends at the Historic Point Boss keeping history alive.
Yeah.
And preserving it for us. Also, giving some perspective to younger people, I think, to all of us, not just young people, but all of us. When you're taking these things in, you're not only being able to take in your history and this area's history, but you're gaining a lot of perspective. And man, you think you have it rough, or you think that things are tough right now or something. Try living in the 18th century.
Yeah.
Try doing some of these things. Along with, I think, not only taking some, learning some things, you can't walk away from there not taking some pride in your community, in your town, in your area.
Mm-hmm.
Help our friends at the Historic Point Boss keep history alive. Visit them at historicpointboss.com. And of course, taking this great event September 30th, 9 to 4. It's going to be a great event. That's going to be a fun one. Wanted to make sure to mention more live music at Pineland. We've got that coming up as well.
Yeah, so Saturday, September 30th, again, from 7 to 10 p.m., they will be having live music from Big and Tall.
Nice. It's a good band. They've been around for a while. That's going to be a rocking. That's going to be a really good time and a great way to wrap up the month of September, which it's shocking to me that September is almost over.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
I still don't know what happened to June. Does anybody know what happened to June?
Yeah.
Like, I still don't know what happened to that month, but I digress. We'll move on. We have great events coming up to kick off October. Let's start there.
Yeah, so running Monday, October 2nd through Saturday, October 21st. Will be the first ever Rome Scarecrow Walk at the Leicester Public Library.
God, I love that.
Local businesses, groups, families are decorating scarecrows to display on the path behind the library, and you are free to visit them whenever you'd like. However, if you would want to vote for your favorite scarecrow, visit the Leicester Public Library during their operating hours to cast your free vote. You do get one free vote, but you can get additional votes for each item you bring to donate to the food pantry.
It's a great way to help out. Again, putting back in your community, bringing items for the food pantry goes so much farther than a lot of people, I think, can realize.
Mm-hmm.
I came from a family that needed items like that often, and I can tell you how much it makes an impact, how much it helps. That is very, very important. Outside of that, just a cool event. This is an awesome idea. Jillian, do you know where this started, where this came from?
This is kind of the brainchild of the Friends of Rome, or Leicester Public Library of Rome, in collaboration with the library itself and their new director, Miss Nicole Menzel, who I've already met. She's awesome. Yeah. If you're in the Rome area and you want to meet her, go for it.
Yeah.
Just a lot of great ideas.
Cool. That is, I love that library.
Yes.
And I love any chance that we can to promote it, talk about going there and everything, in part because of things like this. It's really good to hear that they're keeping that kind of momentum going, that kind of feeling going of putting into the community, taking care of the community. Our library, especially, you know, like our one here in Rapids, McMillan Library, they used to always be hubs. They'd be community hubs. They'd be safe zones, sanctuaries almost, if you will. And we're kind of getting back to that a bit, where everybody's welcome at the library. Everybody. This is a place to go for, you know, having conversation, fun, and maybe even learning more or putting back into your community.
Yeah.
It's very cool. And I am biased about this, I should admit. My first nickname was called Scarecrow. I was called Scarecrow a lot growing up. So I have a bit of a kinship with Scarecrow.
Yes.
So it's a fun, cool event. And these, if people want to take part in this, if they want to be a part of this, can they be? Or should they reach out to them?
So there's still a few more days to sign up to make the Scarecrow. Sign-ups close on the 25th. And you would like to contact Nicole at the Leicester Public Library.
Okay.
I believe her email is nmenzel@romepubliclibrary.com.
Nicely done.
Okay, great. Yeah, got it. I was going to say.
You nailed it, Jill. Nailed it. Nicely done. Yeah, that was a, you, off the top of her head, everybody. I was just pulling it up online. I cheated. I got it in front of Nice, nice work by you.
Yes. Yeah, so email her, stop by the library, or call the library's phone number. And I'm not as talented. I don't remember that.
I got you. I got you on that
okay.
one. And I just want to mention their website really quick. Go to romepubliclibrary.org, romepubliclibrary.org, to find out more information about what we're talking about here. And if you would like to give them a call, 715-325-8990, 325-8990. Give them a call. And just a real quick, I don't know if you have this in your notes or not, so I don't mean to repeat ourselves if we do, but I did want to mention, you mentioned that she is the new director over there, Nicole Menzel. You can have a meet and greet. There's a meet and greet going on over there. Oh, I'm sorry, that already happened. Never mind. I hope you got to take in the meet and greet. I hope you got to take that in, because that's cool that she did that. That's a smart idea. Again, RomePublicLibrary.org, and get on over there. If you haven't been to that library in a while, get on over there, everybody. Mm-hmm. Saturday, October 7th, more great live music.
Yeah, back at Pineland Grill from 7 to 10 p.m. This time, their music feature is the Fire on High Trio.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't heard much from them, but I've heard good things about them. And that we love our trio bands. We like our three-piece bands around here. That's going to be a good one. And I should have mentioned this before. Pineland's got some great it's a great place to hear music.
It is.
I've had friends of mine that have taken a lot of events over there. And the first thing they talk about is the acoustics and how good things sound over there. So definitely check that out, everybody. Friday, October 13th. Great band, great music.
Yeah, this time at the Lure Bar and Grill from 7 to 11 p.m., they will be having Rising Phoenix as their music.
Yeah, Rising Phoenix been around here a long time, doing great, great rock, great music. One of those bands that if you haven't gotten to see, here is a perfect opportunity. And man, what an atmosphere. The Lure is just one of those places you go to. And I say this all the time about certain events, but I can back it up. You can have a glass of water out there and have a good time, let alone taking in a great band like this in just a beautiful atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Love hanging out and being over there at the Lure.
Yeah.
Saturday, October 13th, one of our favorite events coming back.
Yeah, so 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. will be the annual Colorama at Tri-North Winter Park. If you've never been to this, perfect time to go.
Mm-hmm.
You're able to see kind of the fall leaves changing colors from, I believe, four counties when you go all the way up to the top of the ski jumping hill. Don't worry, there's ropes.
Yes,
you can even get an ATV or UTV ride up there if you don't want to hike up all the way.
That's pretty cool. It's a free event. Keep that in mind.
Yes, it is free event.
Mm-hmm. This time of year, having this, like, this is one of the, I got to do this when I was young, and I will never forget it. I really love to be able to take it in as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And I in part bring that up because I experienced that over the weekend. This past weekend, I was in the Dells, and I got to go on the Ducks.
Oh.
And I haven't done that since sixth grade.
Yeah.
You know, and I kind of felt like, well, I've gotten that experience in. I'm good. But as an adult here, I was like, oh, I had an opportunity. I'm going to go ahead and ride on the Ducks. A complete different experience. Completely different experience. For one, I could see things.
Yeah.
I'm a little taller. I'm a little, you know, that helped a little bit. But more importantly, I had perspective. I was able to take in this stuff and truly appreciate and be in the moment and really enjoy and really take in the history as an adult. Nothing against being a kid, of course, but as a kid, you're distracted. You're a squirrel. You're not paying attention to his mom. Yeah, exactly. Nicely done. So any of these events that maybe you did as a child or you did younger, I really encourage you as an adult to take them in and see how you experience them like they're brand new.
Yeah.
The Colorama is event coming up Saturday, October 14th. We say a big shout out to our friends at Tri-Norris Winter Park and anybody a part of the Tri-Norris organization.
Mm-hmm.
Really do great work in this community.
They really do.
Love the idea, too, that they give people the option of the UTV ride or not. There are plenty of people in this area that might not be in the best of, age-wise or for whatever reasons, might not be able to make that hike.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice option to be able to give people.
Yeah.
I've talked about this before in the Rome area. When I first moved to this state, that's where I got to experience Halloween. That's where I got to experience Christmas. And it's still something. I was just, talking about it over the weekend, driving through Rome. The people I was with, I was bragging about going to having Christmas events there and Halloween events there. Mm-hmm. It was so much fun. And we got one coming up, of course.
Yeah, Saturday, October 28th from noon to 3 p.m. will be the annual Kids Halloween Party in Rome. It'll be taking place in Rome Town Center Business Park. It's got a lot of names.
It does.
Same spot.
Same spot it's always been, yeah.
Yeah, and that's put on by the Rome Makers Home Community Educators in conjunction with us, Visit Rome. And there will be candy handout, a photo booth in the gazebo, balloon animals, which is new this year. And it's just shaping up to be a spooktacular event.
Nicely done.
Yes.
This is also this is where Halloween events are now, where, you know, kids aren't necessarily going out and trick-or-treating as much anymore. A lot of parents feel a lot more better when taking their kids to something like this, especially if they're, you know, young kids. They're under the age of 10 and that. It feels better. You have the kids right there, and you're in a safe environment. And they're still getting a chance to have some fun. They're still getting a chance to show off their costumes and get to see other kids and interact with them. I know for me and my sister growing up, going to that event, it was a blast. We had so much fun. We didn't feel like we were in a small town. You know, we still got to experience being around all these other people and everything, like the city that we came from. Mm-hmm. It's a fun time. And not for nothing, parents, you're going to enjoy this too.
Yeah.
Usually you got to sit and wait at home for these costumes to come to you. You're just, by bringing your kid there, you're going to get to take in all these awesome costumes too.
Yeah. And who knows? If you want to dress up too, go right ahead.
Oh, yes. Yes. Any chance as an adult to do this, to dress up? I have to. I mean, I'm not going to let the kid be the only one dressed up.
Yeah.
I have to dress up. It's fun. And we love theme costumes.
Yes.
Love it. Love it. When the kid and the mom are similar costume or something like that, that's always fun. Be sure to check that out. Again, Saturday, October 28th, Kids Halloween Party in Rome from noon to 3. Halloween, I believe, is like on a Tuesday this year. So
I believe you're correct.
This is probably the day you'll want to get that in.
Yeah.
We got a while we spend so much time talking about events in this area, in the Rome area, Jillian, there is so much that we don't always get to cover with Rome.
Yeah.
Which, for one, as a side note, that's awesome. There's so much going on over there that we can't cover it all in 25 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But with that being said, I wanted to save some time towards the end of the conversation here to talk about some other fun happenings.
Yeah. So, first little fun happening. We're looking forward to the opening of Up North Brewery, or Up North Brewing Company. There's been a few delays, but they are slowly but steadily making progress. If you drive by the building, it looks beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, you don't want to get a beer in there just yet. It's not done, but it is well on its way. So follow their progress on Facebook at Up North Brewing Company and stay tuned for their opening day announcement.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. We love supporting local around here, and the work that they have been putting in on this is not for nothing. I mean, it's been noted by the community.
And I
can't wait for them to be able to open their doors and for us to be able to show them, hey, we're ready to support you all.
Yes, and not only have they been putting in work like with the building, but just getting their name out there as well. They served beer at our Alex C. Dove Memorial Concert in August.
Yeah.
They've been at the farmers market selling their merchandise for numerous weeks.
They're working hard at this, and I admire it so much. We want to be able to support that as we like to support local. That's going to be a great time. We'll be keeping an eye on that.
Yeah.
We got other great things going on in the area as well. The town is getting artsy,
looks like. Town is getting artsy.
I like that. I like that.
We are currently watching the first piece of public art take form on the Public Works building in Rome.
Mm-hmm.
Special thanks to Kiba Freeman and all his talent on this great project. Feel free to stop by the mural and just watch the progress, or just say hello to Kiba.
Mm-hmm.
Last time I drove past, there was someone with binoculars that he had painted. I think an eagle appeared.
He's a great artist.
Yes,
and it's
definitely
a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like the more and more we're seeing of us kind of adding art, beautifying our areas more with these kind of things. You know, you go down Main Street in Nakusa and you see that beautiful mural that they've got. Things like that. I like seeing more of that in our communities. Mm-hmm. And this great artist. And again, a great way to support local, and that includes the arts. Take this in. And if you get a chance to say hi, say thank you to Kiba. Greatly appreciate that.
Yeah.
We appreciate you, Jillian. Do us a favor. Say hi to Lisa for us.
Will do.
And if people have follow-up questions for you or want to know more about some of the things we've talked about, how can they get in touch with you?
You can either visit our website, which is visitromewi.com. Mm. You can email me at jalekna@visitrome.com. Or feel free to call us at 715-325-3090.
Excellent. Thank you, Jillian, so much for the time. Say hi to everybody in Rome for us.
Will do. Thank you.
And a big thank you again to Nakusa Port Edward State Bank for sponsoring the segment. We greatly appreciate them. Again, go to romewi.com for more information. We'll be back with more Midday Magazine coming up on WFHR.
Nakusa Port Edward State Bank is your locally owned, full-service community bank in Nakusa, Port Edwards, and the town of Rome. Since 1913, they've been helping area communities, businesses, and individuals with their financial needs, and are happy to sponsor these What's Happening in Rome live discussions. Hope you enjoy the updates. Everyone at Nakusa Port Edward State Bank is proud to be part of these exciting developments in the town of Rome. Remember, when in Rome, bank at Nakusa Port Edward State Bank. Member Equal Housing Lender, FDIC Insured.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in Central Wisconsin. The Vital Information Program is holding their last walk-in registration event at Lincoln Center in Stevens Point today, September 21st, from 1 to 3 p.m. Volunteers with the Aging and Disability Resource Center will assist you in completing a medical profile that contains your vital information. This profile can be kept on the refrigerator in your home, so medical professionals can access it in the case of an emergency. The event is today, September 21st, from 1 to 3. The Wisconsin Rapids Library is relaunching Macmillan's concert series tonight. The jazz duo of guitarist Rory Stewart and saxophonist Glenn Wilson will be performing both original tunes and some old favorites. Rory is a straight-ahead jazz guitarist, and Glenn an unsung hero in modern jazz. Don't miss their performance today, September 21st, from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Macmillan Library Fine Arts Center. I'm Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Slight chance for scattered showers tonight, otherwise mainly clear. Lows of aloft around 56. Winds out of the southeast 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow. High of 78, partly cloudy. Mainly cloudy skies expected tomorrow night. Chance for scattered storms. Lows dip down to about 58. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 83.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this September 21st, 2023. Have your host, James J. here. I am joined by our great friend, Anna James, Regional Natural Resources Educator with UW-Madison. Thanks for being here, Anna.
Thank you, James.
Always good to talk with you. Always enjoy the conversation. And like last time you joined us, another great topic, and timely, too. We're going to talk about drought, and I think that opening up right away with this topic of what is drought, at first it takes you a second, like, well, I know what drought, wait, do I know what drought is? It really does make you think, and I love that right away. So let's go ahead and get out of your way. Let's get right into this.
Yeah, for sure. So that's kind of the reason why I wanted to talk about drought. It's a really common term, especially this summer, and a lot of people just think, oh, well, drought means lack of precipitation, right? And I was like, there's got to be more behind this. I know there's more. I'm not like an atmospheric scientist or anything like this, so I had to do my research too, but I tried to break everything down in, you know, the most common terms for anybody to understand what we have currently going on in our climate. So when we think about a drought, you know, when you think about a drought, what do you think about? Some terms that might come to mind are dry, hot, dusty. You might even envision, you know, cracks in the soil or lakes, rivers, and streams decreasing in levels or maybe even running dry. And while that's really relevant to some areas experiencing drought, that's not necessarily relevant to all areas. Yeah. So some areas like ours, right, we're not seeing, currently, we're not seeing, you know, cracks in the soil everywhere and super dry
it's
conditions.
Not the Mojave Desert.
Yes, yeah. Correct. Yeah. Right. So some areas when experiencing drought will just experience less precipitation than their normal weather. Mm-hmm. So when I say precipitation, I'm talking about rain or snowfall. And it might be odd to think about snowfall playing into drought, but it really does. Mm-hmm. So in order to answer, you know, the question of what causes a drought, there's kind of three major areas that I want us to dive into. And I'm going to break some stuff down as simple as I can, because I would really love for everybody to just be able to understand this topic. Yeah. So in order for us to, you know, really talk about what causes a drought, we have to first explore the connections between weather, climate, and the water cycle. So when first we'll talk about weather. So if you look outside now, what do you see?
Sunny.
It's sunny, yeah. Right? It's sunny. There's some
clouds.
It's
nice to be able to say that.
Yes, it is. Well, we'll hold on to it for now.
Hang on to that.
But when you look outside, you might be seeing sun, cloud. Is it windy? Is it rainy? You know, it might be different in other areas, right? Is it hot? Is it cold? Whatever your answer is to that question, that's what we call our weather for today. So weather can be defined as conditions experienced in a place over a brief period of time, like day to day or even week to week. Now, in a bigger picture, we say climate, like an area has a specific climate. So when you hear or read a weather forecast, you may hear words like normal. For example, the weather forecast may say today will be warmer than normal, or we're having below normal precipitation. Well, what dictates normal?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So weather that we expect or know to be normal for a place can be what we describe as their climate. Now that normal depends on a couple of different factors for an area. For example, elevation, so how high above sea level an area is, how close it is to the ocean or other large bodies of water, and then its latitude, so how far away from the equator is it, right? So that all plays into an area's climate. So a place's climate can change slightly from year to year, decade to decade, whichever, which is what we would actually refer to as natural climate variability. So we're expecting to see some variability within our natural climate, right? We see that in Wisconsin all the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Literally all the time. The weather's always changing. This is the state where you get up in the morning with a windbreaker, and by the end of the day, you've got your shirt off. I mean, it's that kind of area. So interesting.
Yeah.
But I don't think, including myself, and I've always considered myself a little bit of a weather nerd. Like I like watching the Weather Channel and these things. But I don't think I've ever understood the difference of some of this terminology. I'm already loving this. This is great.
Well, thank you. So because of the changes that we see in natural climate variability, so some of the variations can occur, we can actually consider drought as a normal part of the climate, just like we can consider floods, hurricanes, blizzards, and even tornadoes as natural parts of our climate, right?
It's not only interesting to know that. I find that very helpful. I actually found that a little comforting hearing you say that. We are. It's not to make light of the natural disasters or some of the things that are, to be honest, self-inflicted by human beings on this planet. That we don't push that aside by any means. But nature is going to do nature. We all understand the big boss around here. And it's Mother Nature.
She,
I don't care who you want, the president, this, whatever. No. Mother Nature is the top dog around here.
And she doesn't play by anybody's rules.
No. But she does have these kind of things do happen just even if we weren't here, if you will.
Right.
So that's interesting.
Yeah, and we can only make predictions about it, right? I mean, we look at the weather forecast, we can say, oh, we hope it's this, but odds are when we get to that day, we're hoping for sunny skies.
We're
might
all
be.
Crossing our fingers.
Exactly, right. So another big factor into drought is the water cycle. Now, I can nerd out about the water cycle a little bit. Water is my jam. So I'm going to break this down pretty simplistically. This is not the complete water cycle. It's just a very basic understanding of the water cycle. So water covers more than 70% of our Earth, and we have that in the form of oceans, lakes, rivers, ice caps, glaciers, and aquifers, which are our groundwater, right?
That last part I don't think we think about very often. No. That's cool to include that. That's smart.
Yep, and it's unseen, so we don't think about it very often. And water is always moving. Even if you think it's stagnant, like in a lake, it's always moving, whether we can see that movement or not. So when we think about the start of the water cycle, we're thinking about rain or snow, which is precipitation, falling into the our oceans, our water sources, or even onto the land. So precipitation that falls on the land can enter into our groundwater, or it can enter into lakes, rivers, and streams. Now, the way it enters into our groundwater is through percolation. And percolation is just a term that describes water or any other liquid moving through something like soil or rocks. And when we think about precipitation percolating through our soil, we also can refer to that as groundwater recharge. So our aquifers are recharged by that precipitation percolating through our soils into the aquifers. And then the precipitation that falls on the land can travel to streams, rivers, lakes in the form of runoff, which is sometimes negative based on what it collects while it's entering the streams, rivers, or the lakes. But if it's in an area of natural area, runoff is not a bad thing. So then what we have after we have percolation and precipitation, the water in the streams or rivers, even groundwater, will travel to a larger water body like a lake or an ocean, where it then evaporates and can form clouds. And then after that, the cycle starts all over again. So it's kind of a circular cycle. If we, I know some people might, you have to dig in the back of your brain to think about the water cycle and the relevance of it. But especially when we're talking about drought, just try to pick that memory out of your fifth grade.
Keep that in your file back cabinet, back of your brain.
What's important to mention about water, too, is it's a limited renewable resource. So we will have the same amount of water on the planet that we did at the beginning of time as we do now. So even though we have all of that water, not all of it is accessible to us. And there's a couple reasons to that. So mainly because there's so much salt water on the planet, but then there's also water that's in glaciers and ice caps that's unavailable to us. And we also have to factor in pollution. Things like pollution, increased human demand for water, and changes in our precipitation pattern from climate change do vary into our how much water is accessible to us.
That latter part you mentioned about climate change, not to say that with any of the things that you mentioned there, we have that we can tell you exactly what's going to happen, but especially with that one, the ultimate wild card in climate change. We have no idea going forward what can happen when it comes to that subject. If I told people out there, this is going back to one of the classic examples of a glass half empty, glass half full. If you are looking at this planet like it's a glass half full, that's well and good, but that probably isn't going to do us very good. We need you to be looking at this as it is. This is what we've got. We have to make this work. And we're not going to do not only ourselves, but to me, more importantly, the younger generations, the people who aren't even born yet, we're not doing them any good if we're not thinking of it this way. I'm a big believer in positivity and looking at things and the glass is half full kind of thing. In this particular subject, I think we are better suited looking at it as, okay, that's what we have. We got to make that last. We got to make that work.
Somehow, James, our conversations always come back to that topic.
I think that's on me. I think that's my fault.
No, not on you at all. I think that it's a very good example that, you know, we have to be just understanding that, like water, we do are even though we have renewable resources, they are pretty limited.
We every human being in this day and age right now, we all have to be conservationists. Mm-hmm. We all have to care about this subject. Mm-hmm. Some more than others, some doing bigger and greater things than others, but every single person can be a conservationist. Mm-hmm. Just by doing some of these things and just by paying attention to some of this stuff we are talking about. Mm-hmm.
And that's not a bad term
not at all,
refer to somebody as a conservationist.
I'd have that on my business card. Yeah. I think I'd be very proud of that. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, we'll get back to drought. And, you know, we've kind of summed up the water cycle. We've talked about weather. We've talked about climate and the difference between the two. Now we're going to talk about weather and water on the move. So the very end of the water cycle, we talked about water evaporating, right? So when that water evaporates from our oceans, streams, rivers, whatever source it's in, it moves up into the atmosphere. Now, air carries the moisture up, and if conditions are right, it can form clouds. Now, wind moves those clouds around the globe, and the wind that carries the clouds can also be referred to as the jet stream. Now, the jet stream changes its patterns with each season, and this is kind of pretty cool to think about. So in other words, the jet stream will carry weather patterns such as precipitation and temperature in different directions or over different routes during each season. So a really good example to think of.
Just wild. It is very cool. Yeah. That is so cool.
Yeah, it is really cool. And so just a simple way that we can think about the jet stream moving is if you think about a route that you think about four different routes that you could take to a friend's house. Now you're going to select to take one of those routes each season. So in summer, you're going to take route A. Summer, you're going to take route B. And the way that you can think about that is the way that the jet stream moves. So it changes its patterns over time, over seasons, etc. So if the jet stream changes its pattern, sometimes it can become blocked by ridges or troughs in our air and atmosphere, so that the normal weather or that if it experiences one of those blockages by a ridge or a trough, that can affect a place's normal weather over, you know, a short period of time or a long period of time. It's almost as if the jet stream has like hit a roadblock or taken a detour. So when the jet stream hits a roadblock or takes a certain detour and it's not bringing the clouds that produce rain, a drought can occur. So the jet streams really factor in. Now you might be asking, well, you know, what causes a jet stream to go off route? And scientists are still trying to uncover those patterns. But there's some factors that they think, you know, really affect the jet stream's movement. And some of those influences can be differences in the amount of precipitation and the amount of snow and ice covering our planet. One thing that's really cool to kind of think about is the amount of vegetation that is covering the land can affect precipitation. And this is not, I didn't mention this, but that's because of evapotranspiration, which happens through plants. That can be another factor. And then the moisture in our soil can actually affect our weather patterns and how much drought. It's so weird. And then another thing that, you know, we probably don't think about here much in Wisconsin, but that can affect, you know, how drought occurs is the temperature and currents that we see in oceans. So it's super interesting.
It's just as interesting too to me that how much of this we have down, we're still figuring some parts out. And I find that just very encouraging, very cool that we in 2023 there are still parts of this we are figuring out. Now it's important we do, and I'm not making light of that, but I do think that it's every once in a while it's kind of refreshing to have some things like we're still figuring this out. We still need to work or we need to work with our environment to figure this out.
And so now that we have a basic understanding of the behind the scenes of a drought, we can really talk about what causes the drought, right? We talked about the jet stream causing the drought and some factors that can play into, you know, what's impacting the jet stream. But the overarching reason why, mm-hmm. right, we don't get droughts is we're not receiving rain or snow over a certain period of time.
Yeah.
Which is a basic understanding, right? But mm-hmm. we learn that the water cycle and weather can change in the wind patterns that move clouds and moisture through the atmosphere. But that can also cause a place to not receive its normal amount of precipitation. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the jet stream again. Mm-hmm. Drought in an area can also be caused by places upstream from you not receiving enough water. And that's especially relevant if you are living in an area where your main water resource is a river. Mm-hmm. So we can see that here along the Wisconsin River, right? Yeah. We see times this spring, because of snowmelt, the river was incredibly high.
Yeah.
Now we see times in summer and early fall where our levels are low. Mm-hmm. And one thing I really think about this is during fall, we are on the Mississippi Flyway and we have a large number of waterfowl that within the next couple of weeks and 2 months, I would say, are going to be making a huge journey mm-hmm. down to mm-hmm. their migrating yeah. areas.
Yeah, big trip.
Right. And so when there's not enough water here for them, they have to make larger feats within that journey. Yeah. And so it's not just impacting us, right? I've heard so many people on lakes so concerned because they have to take their boat off mm-hmm. the water earlier. And I'm not saying that that's not relevant. I'm not saying that that's not a concern. Mm-hmm. But if we, you know, zoom our perspective out and look at something that's maybe not just an immediate need or yeah. concern for us. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of other things that are impacted by drought.
And a lot more important things, if I'm being blunt. Mm-hmm. But again, it's not to make light of other issues or anything like that. It's mm-hmm. just, you know, there's a perspective here, I yeah. think, that you have to have with the subject.
Right. Mm. Yeah, and I think we need to acknowledge that we, as people, play a large role yes. in drought as well. So if we're using too much water during times of normal rainfall, we might not even have enough water when a drought occurs.
Right.
We're pretty lucky here in Wisconsin, but there's other places like California or mm-hmm. out on the West Coast where water scarcity is a huge issue for them. So, you know, that kind of leads me into talking about how can we be prepared for a drought.
Yeah.
Yep. So earlier, we learned that droughts are normal parts of our climate, like floods, hurricanes, and tornadoes, and which are what we refer to as natural hazards. And thinking about a drought as a natural hazard might be a little odd to us because we can't see the immediate effects of this hazard or we can't see it coming. If there's a tornado coming, you can see that echo hook on the radar, right?
Yep.
You can see it coming. You can also see the damages of it coming. Like at post-tornado, you can see the damages.
Yeah.
So we also with droughts don't have a clear beginning or an end. So droughts can just sneak up on us.
Yeah.
So it's good to be, you know, proactive about how we can reduce the effects of drought, but also how we can be ready for drought. So there's just a couple of steps, if you don't mind, I'll just touch
Please.
On really quick on how we can kind of be drought resilient ourselves. We can fix dripping faucets by replacing washers and checking them regularly. One drop per second of water wastes 2,700 gallons of water a year.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's just incredible. That's one drop, everybody. Yep. One drop a second. That's incredible.
Yep. Yep. So, well, you might have tuned that little drop out in the background at home. Make sure you fix it.
Mother Nature still knows.
She does. Yep. And then we can choose appliances that are more energy efficient and water efficient. We can reduce pouring water down the drain if we're, you know, finished with it. Maybe store that to water your indoor plants or even your garden. We can check our well pumps periodically. This is really important for private well owners. So if you have an automatic pump that turns on and off while your water is not being used, that generally means that there's a leak. One cool thing is we can also plant native and or drought tolerant grasses, ground cover, shrubs, and trees, and these plants, once established, won't need as much water. And then we can consider harvesting our rainfall water where it's relevant. So
And there's an interesting topic that, or something that could spin us off into another conversation, yeah, maybe the next time you join us, about how to harvest rainwater.
Yeah.
Because I've seen in a little bit of this mostly with my friends out in California, mm-hmm, but I've seen some people here locally doing this too, of really paying attention to the term drought and, mm-hmm, to all the conversations that have gone on this past summer when it comes to drought. I think a lot of more people are familiar with not only the actual terminology of it, mm-hmm, but the idea that we need to do something about it. And this is where a lot of them are going, the harvesting of rainwater. Mm-hmm. But it isn't until really hearing this conversation with you today, I think, that we're going to get a true understanding of what, not only what drought is, but how we can handle it, how we can better prepare ourselves going forward with it. And if I can, and it's so easy to pick on news and that, mm-hmm, and everything, but news is trying to catch your attention. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes they will throw the word drought out there. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that there's enough backstory with that. Mm-hmm. Because as you touched on, droughts happen. Mm-hmm. They'd happen whether we're here or not. There are that, and then there are droughts that, you know, we could be a big part of the cause of. Mm-hmm. And understanding the difference of that is so vital going forward. And you've hit on so many great things in this conversation, Anna, but I keep coming back to a really important one. What we got is what we are going to have, mm-hmm, going forward. We're not making new water. We're not, you know, I mean, it may seem like that to the people that are buying bottled water, mm-hmm, or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. It's not the case. It's not how this works. We need to make this work. Mm-hmm. We got one rock. We got one planet here. We got to make this work.
Right.
Understanding this stuff is only going to prepare you more, not only for when these things happen, mm-hmm, but even in just as simply as in taking in the news. And I think a topic like this, while very local, and certainly hits on, all of this hits on stuff locally, mm-hmm, I like this topic too, because as you mentioned, California, other places dealing with drought right now, we know our empathy pulls towards that.
Right.
I think understanding it a little bit more only brings out more empathy, but hopefully helps us understand more of what we can do here about that. And just having some care for our fellow humans in the other parts of the country and everything.
Yeah.
So a great topic.
Thank you.
Is there anything? I'm sorry. Did you have something? I didn't want to cut you off.
No, I didn't.
I just happened to look away right as you were talking. I'm sorry.
That's no worries. I just wanted to kind of put a little resource out there for people to use. If you want to learn more about becoming drought prepared or how you can help prevent droughts, you can go to ready.gov/drought. Mm-hmm. So ready.gov/drought. And that would be a really, really good resource for you to use.
Anna, if people have follow-up questions, they'd like to know more about some of the things you've discussed today, how can they get in touch with you?
You can get in touch with me by emailing me. My email address is anna.m.james@wisc.edu.
Got a beautiful last name there. You really do. Appreciate the time as always, Anna. I could talk to you for weeks, yep, in a row. Like I'd drive you crazy if I actually was bugging you as much as I could, because I really, really enjoy what you bring to the table here, our conversations. Looking forward to the next one already.
Thanks so much, James.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York, where a charter bus full of high school students has crashed, killing at least one person and injuring dozens. CBS's Wendy Gillette has the latest.
This is 45 miles northwest of New York City.
CBS News New York is reporting on the crash of a charter bus carrying members of the Farmingdale High School band from Long Island. It happened early this afternoon. Windows were knocked out on the bus, which ended up on its side along Interstate 84.
And we're looking at first responders walking in the woods right now at some distance, maybe a couple of hundred yards from the bus.
It's unclear right now what caused the accident.
Ukraine's president's now meeting with President Biden at the White House after asking Congress for more military aid for its war with Russia. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries.
And it's important for us to stand behind Ukraine until victory is won. And I'm confident that that is certainly what House Democrats will continue to do.
Some Republicans oppose it, saying the U.S. can't keep writing blank checks.
The right voices at the right time.
Fox announced today founder Rupert Murdoch is stepping down as head of the company. Media expert Robert Thompson.
I'd be very surprised to see in the near future any noticeable differences. I don't think this is going to be a new Fox News.
Murdoch also ran News Corp, which owns papers like the Wall Street Journal and the New York Post. His son Lachlan takes over. A former White House aide is accusing former President Trump's former lawyer of groping her. Here's CBS's Adriana Diaz.
Cassidy Hutchinson says former President Trump's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, groped her. In an excerpt from Hutchinson's new book, obtained by The Guardian, she wrote of Giuliani, "His hand slips under my blazer, then my skirt. I fight against the tension in my muscles and recoil from Rudy's grip." Giuliani denied the allegations during an interview with Newsmax's Eric Boyling.
Totally absurd.
She claims it happened on January 6. Game of Thrones author George R.R. Martin has joined a class action lawsuit of authors suing OpenAI for reportedly violating their copyrights to fuel its chatbot. Legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
ChatGPT is making a fair use argument to overcome a copyright infringement charge. This is not like technology that eliminates toll booth workers. This involves stealing someone's imagination.
AI is also a point of contention between writers and major studios in Hollywood as they close in on a possible contract deal. Writers have been on strike there